Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Finishing strong by arriving at the destination where you want to be and becoming the person that you've wanted to become. God spiritually built you to last. And for you to arrive at the destination of your life that will place a smile on His face and a delight in your soul. And it is a journey. Along the way are all kinds of difficulties, and that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was riding through that Father Michael and Son Brian read for us in our worship today. It was helpful for me as a would-be golfer at one stage in my life when I attended a PGA, Professional Golf Association tournament, to see some of the greats playing the game. What I noticed is they had a lot of clubs in their bag and that they practiced during the practice rounds making bad shots, meaning they didn't intend to make the bad shot that they were practicing, but they knew somewhere along the way their ball was going to wind up in the rough, in the deep weeds, behind a tree, certainly in the sand trap, hit somebody in the gallery, and they practice how to hit out of the jam. The very best do that. God has spiritually built us to last out of any difficulty that will come our way. And He promises His presence for to come through. And the gift for us is then to trust God in such a way that we will let Him reveal His Spirit fill us, so that when the pressure is on, we are not ashamed, but we are trusting God to be at work. We think in the story of what Paul is writing. Again, the context in the book of Ephesians is that he has in prison. He's been falsely accused, wrongly arrested, awaiting trial before Caesar. And while he is under the Caesar's arrest, the palace guard is watching over him. And while they're watching him, they think they're in control. They think that they have all the armor that they're wearing as a centurion, and that Paul, who was in chains, was the one who ought to be ashamed and knew that he was in trouble. But Paul prayed through this. He contemplated it. He wondered it through, and he realized that he was the free person. And he wanted to communicate that basic truth in a very clear way. And so at the end of the book, he writes this remarkable passage. And it opens with the language about be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, as we have just sung and as Jacob just shared out of his own life, the power of that truth just reverberating inside of us, being inwardly free in spite of wearing chains. Now, you notice, not only in the scripture, but our own life, there are people who will seek to shame us, to keep us from trusting God in our daily life, and certainly when the pressure is on. Instead, what happened is that when they tried to shame Jesus by crucifying Him on the cross, the symbol of suffering and shame, the symbol of being a failure in this world, the cross became the living symbol. The living symbol of God's victory over death, grace over sin, love over hate. When you enter the pews here, you are entering a pathway of the cross, that you're under the authority of the symbol of a victory. But in the day, they thought it was the symbol of a loser. Being in chains like Paul was a symbol that somebody was under the control of someone else, like Caesar. Instead, Paul said, these chains do not bind my soul. They do not captivate my mind. They do not dictate terms to my heart. They limit where my body can go and what it can do, but it is not controlling me. And that's when you know you're free indeed. And the symbols of the chain that became the symbol of a faithful person, spiritually built to last, to finish strong. A word that underlines this promise is resilience. It's a powerful single word of resilience, meaning it's the capacity to bounce back from a hardship. It's the capacity to be re-energized when tired. Can you imagine that famous Kenyan runner who just 2 days ago ran the marathon of 26.2 miles under 2 hours? The resiliency, the training that went involved in running 26.2 miles in less than 2 hours. I remember one of the last marathons I walked in, everybody else was running. It was the marathon there at Baylor campus a few years ago. And our three children, Rachel, Ryan, and Stephen, were all running in the marathon through the hills of Cameron Park and along the Brazos River. And along the way, I walked the entire way, which means my children lapped me. And by the time I got to the finish line, which was my destination, never fooling myself that I was going to win any records, by the time I got to the finish line, they had taken down the finish line on the Baylor campus. I mean, not only was there no one there to cheer, but there was no marker that I had actually gotten there, except for my loving wife, Vicky. She hung in there. But my destination with my goal was simply to enjoy a long hike. And when I finished, I had completed that purpose. But I made sure I went to the award area when they were packing up all the t-shirts that hadn't been given away and said, hey, wait, I'd need one of those too. Paul said, you want to press on with your life towards the goal that you are on in follower of Christ Jesus. Don't be fooled by trying to follow someone else on their terms, but be on your destination in Christ, encouraged by his calling in your life, letting this be the one thing that you do. Now, how do we do this? How do we step into the promises of God and allow them to be the strength in our life? Well, one is we put on God's armor, being free to live an unhindered life by being spirit-filled. So this promise about put on God's whole armor, Paul will repeat two times. The whole armor, the everything that is to be worn. Now he again, Paul in chains, was looking at this proud Roman centurion, and he looked at himself and he realized that what he had wasn't obvious to the eye of others. Meaning this armor of God is not something that we physically put on like a magic suit and we then wear it because we have a magic suit that we're putting on, but it's what you are aware of before you get out of bed in the morning, before you put your feet on the ground. Know this, that God wants you to put on the full armor of what he provides. Now we'll talk specifically of what that is in just a moment, but know that it is in God's presence that is with you all the time, that you consciously can be in his presence and have the full protection and care of God. That doesn't mean that there aren't bumps and bruises. That doesn't mean there aren't disappointments. It doesn't mean that there aren't times when you may feel despair and it seems like you're losing. But God says, keep putting one foot in front of the next because you are in my presence. You see, the armor is really the word for God's presence. By being in God's presence, we can never be out of his presence. But we can be out of our awareness of being in his presence. Did you catch that? You want to be aware that you're in God's presence. You want to be aware that you can trust him in every circumstance in your life. So he says in verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Four times he will say, you're up against. Four times he'll say, take a stand. Now, the stand is a physical stance, but it's also the stand maybe is we need to move. We know that we are standing in the presence of God. Paul was surely remembering what had been God spoke to Joshua in the sixth book of the Bible. When Joshua was taking on the responsibility to lead the Israelites after the death of Moses, and the Lord knew he was speaking into Joshua's fearful heart, four times God spoke, be strong and courageous. 10 times in the Gospel of Luke, in telling the birth of Jesus, it was said, don't be afraid. The sense of fear is a natural part of living. But what we do with our fears, we turn it into faith, and our faith into faithfulness, and that's what God's armor, God's presence provides for us. There is an evil one in our world. There is the working of a devil force within our world. We send Christ to the door when the evil one comes knocking on the door of our soul. We simply say, wait a minute, you send Christ to answer the door, because Christ is the one who will defeat Satan face to face. He's done it. He's won the victory. He just reminds Satan that he is the victor. We don't take Satan on ourselves one-on-one. We send Christ before us, but in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the temptation that the evil one tries to create in our world, God needs for us to be in his presence under his protective care that will guard our hearts and minds from the anxieties of this world. Do you remember when Paul said in Ephesians 4, be angry, but don't sin? Let go of your anger once it's told you the danger's under the way, a value's been challenged, and let go of it. Let go of any of a sense of vengeance, lest the devil get a foothold in your life. If we take on the weapons of this world, then we are not trusting in the presence that God is offering us. Put on the full armor of God. When you wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, again say, Lord, I am in your presence. I belong to you. It may be that tomorrow morning will be the first time you say that. It may be that today in today's worship, you're wanting to say, Lord, I trust you and I give my life to you. Now, I give my life to you. Two is then stand in God's presence. Stand in the armor, withstanding all the stretches of difficulties that come our way by the continued sense of the standing of what happens within our life. It's a long journey. It's like what Solomon wrote in the Ecclesiastes. The race is not always to the swift, but to those who keep on running. The power of God who keeps on running and taking us forward in his life is the one who says, I'm with you for the long course. We may need to run sprints at time, but here's how we do it. Now, this is what the armor of God is. This is what the presence of God is for us. It begins with the belt of truth. And the belt of truth is what we put on, and not only to hold up our pants, but in the Roman soldiers' day, they put on a belt and it helped to hold together the full outfit of what the soldier was wearing. You know, my heart's endeared to the men who wear both a belt and suspenders. You know, my uncle, great uncle Steve, who was a tombstone maker out in Roswell, New Mexico, would wear suspenders to hold his pants up and also a belt. Aunt Khaki said to him, Steve, why do you do that? He says, well, you never know when you're going to need support. The belt of truth is the sense of the Roman's belt that actually got everything else attached to it. If it fell down, it was all over. Now, truth is that in our life. It's absolutely the truth of God that we may build our life around. And it gives us balance in an imbalanced world. It gives us trust in a world that has filled with deceit. It gives us a trust in knowing what is right and what is wrong. The truth is the very truth of what Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Set you free. Secondly, it's a breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is the character of God. The character of God that shapes our character. That wherever you go and whoever you are, wherever you go, you are who you are in light of the character of the person that you are. The character of God then can shape your character to be that person every day of your life, becoming more and more like the character that Christ has envisioned for you to be, this journey. And this character then can withstand all the weapons of the world that would come your way. And the power of this righteousness is what the world looks for credibility. You know, your children, your grandchildren, your friends look at you, looking at a righteousness, looking at the character of your life and asking, is this the person I really think this person says he is or she is? Yeah, I can see it. I see it by how they're living their life and what they say and what they do. It comes from the inner character of Christ. And sometimes we may slip up. You know, have you ever kind of walked out of a situation and you didn't pick up that, well, I'll be in the kitchen and I may have dropped something on the kitchen floor and I think, well, and then I began to walk out of the kitchen and thought, no, I really should have picked that up. It's a 5-second delay sometimes to do the right thing. In our life, at work, at family, at home, our conscience continues to work on us so that our righteous of character, God convicting us of His presence, not to cheapen who we are in light of what He's done for us. The footwear of gospel peace is the footwear of what we put on, in that if we put on peace every day, that wherever we go, then we are peacemakers, Jesus would say. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That when we arrive in a room, we're arriving there is a peaceful people. Now, peaceful people means that we have a rigor to us, that we're willing to do the rigorous work of creating peace in our troubled world and troubled relationships, but we've established that what we can stand on is being a person of the peace because of the Prince of Peace. Oh, how it is that every family conversation, every work situation in school need to know that as you walk into the room, you're coming there with a promise of peace in troubled lives. Your feet arrive. The shield of faith. The shield of faith indeed is what a Roman soldier would have, and they would have a leather outing, leather covering of their shield, and that when the fiery arrows would come and the shield would protect them, then the leather, having been drenched in water before the battle, would put out the flaming arrow. And so it is that faith comes in our life as a shield, not to shield us from life, but to give us the courage to be in the midst of the battles of life, but to do so knowing not under our own power, but under our trust of God's presence that's with us. To be able to say, Lord, I trust you. I am with you. You will provide. The shield of faith then is trusting in this God being able to provide what it is that we need when we need it. And that we'll be the kind of people in a patience of trusting in God's timing and living in His ways, turning our fear into faith and our faith into faithfulness. The helmet of salvation is something I had to learn the hard way. As I was a college student and I was riding a motorcycle with my brothers and some friends, and I went over a hill and I came down wrong and I flipped. My head just barely missed a rock, but it hit the hard ground. Next thing I know, I'm waking up in the hospital, sophomore at Baylor. And I knew that I was in a serious situation. I began to get consciousness, and the Catholic priest was in the bed next to me in the ICU giving last rites to the person who was there. And then he came over to this Baptist boy, and he says, is there anything you want to confess? I thought, wow, this is serious. I came to this kind of saying that, you know, are the benefits received worth the risk taken? For me, I thought, I can do without the motorcycle. But the key is I didn't have a helmet on. In the midst of my head getting whacked, I wasn't wearing what was needed. Our very life in Christ, the helmet of salvation, is this living essence of a faith in Christ, saying, Lord, I need you. I accept my need for forgiveness. I accept your forgiveness for me. I believe in you as the Son of God. I commit my life to follow you always. Those ABCs is what forms in the helmet of salvation for us. Not simply to have it in past tense, once having done it, that's it. But that helmet of salvation continues to just kind of grow the power of the thinking presence of Christ within our mind. It's an ongoing protection for us. And without it, we lose our life. And the sword of truth. You notice the Spirit's sword is the sixth that's listed, not the first. It's a very offensive use of God's truth and message into a world. The sword of truth is this sword of being able to understand not just the scriptures, but certainly the scriptures, which is why it was wonderful in Sunday school. And again, we celebrated with our first graders and some second graders receiving Bibles today in Sunday school, because as we gave the Bibles, we said, the Lord bless you as you read the Bible. But as we take in the whole truth of God, the Spirit of the truth, that the Holy Spirit comes, as the author of Hebrews said, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder of bone and marrow, piercing asunder to the heart and intent of your life. The Spirit can do that in moments, that working through your life, speaking into the world, speaking this truth of His hope. And then The book of Ephesians closes, and it closes the imagery of these, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted in peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of truth. Then he says four times, pray. Pray for me, I pray for you. Pray is the activation. It's the awareness of being in God's presence. It's like the psalmist who said, give thanks, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's activating our awareness that God has created a day and we're moving into it under his sovereign grace. And so pray to be able to sustain in God's strength, being God's ambassador in all circumstances. Wherever you go, not only with the breastplate of righteousness and the full armor of God, but you have the papers, you have the authority as an ambassador of God in our troubled world to present the claims of Jesus by how you do your life and by how you speak the truth. That you then are this ambassador wondering about a life purpose. Your life purpose is an ambassador for God in our world. And as a representative then of God in the world, he is with you to release his power and promise from you. And how our world needs you to do this promise. And so Paul wrote at the same time to the Philippian Christians while he also was in prison. And it was to them that he gave those famous words, not that I have already obtained or am perfect, but I press on that I may take hold of that which has taken hold of me. That is, Christ wants to take hold of you and you allow him to take hold of you. You give your permission of your will to be fully under his armor and in his presence. And in doing so, then we press on towards that goal to let him keep working his will within our life and that we then will arrive where we want to be at the end of our lives by being the person he's wanted to create throughout our life. It's the greatest journey of all. It's the only journey that takes us into eternity. And so Paul looked at that soldier. And if you go today to the Marmoratorian prison in Rome, there's a historical marker in the midst of a later dungeon where Paul was put that says, and the one who was guarding Paul, called the apostle, became a believer in Christ. Your life having this power of God at work through you. Let us pray. Thank you that you give us so much and you trust us with all. That now we step into this invitation under your call into your armor by Christ. Amen. As we sing in just a moment, and Vicky will come and stand over there, and I'll be here to receive decisions to say, yes, Jesus, I give my life to you. Yes, I step into the life and the family of Trinity, become a member in this family. Or just want to pray, just to come here in the steps and let them be like a prayer altar to pray or for us to pray with you. Let's stand, sing, and respond together.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.